Welcome, everybody. Tonight, you are listening to No Separation, Nice, and I am your host, William Hewitt, broadcasting live from the vast plains of the Free State, somewhere in the old Boer Republic. A solo show lined up for this evening. This afternoon, Americans out there. And, well, I think you're going to appreciate this particular broadcast. It is going to be loaded with information coming straight from the gift horse's chewy mouth. That's right. I will not be using my words for the most part this evening. I will be using the words of our enemies who boast, who grandstand, and take pleasure in telling the world how they genocide the Aryan race. Not only in just South Africa, not only in just America, but white folk all around the world. And yeah, tonight I will have evidence that will make your mouth drop. And I don't even know if I'll be able to get all of the evidence in by the 2 hours that I have allotted. So I guess in that case, I should probably get right into it. But before I do, I'd really like to thank friend Mike Sledge for coming around the past 2 weeks. It was great talking to him. I had not heard from him in about 10 months. And so to have Mike for 2 weeks in a row, that was very, very pleasing. And I wasn't going to miss the opportunity. So that's why I usually don't have guests on. But yes, it was a great pleasure to have Mike on 2 weeks in a row. And I think we've covered some very important topics. And I hope you go back and listen to those broadcasts. I believe Richard has both of them up. So, where to begin? Which shoe do I want to... which shoe's words do I want to use first? Well, maybe I should explain who I will be using before I actually start to use their words. In the past, I've written articles. I found a transcript of some Jew named Cohen that this transcript was published back in the 70s, but it is very, very relevant today. It's timeless. This transcript from the 70s, in fact, these transcripts are from the 70s. The new one that I found and the one that I had made into an article, both from the 70s. And the one I published, the one I not published, it is published elsewhere. I'll give you the address so you go back and read it for yourselves. And then I also have another article that I wrote about a Jewess here in South Africa. Her name is Jillian Shaw. I've recently published this article, and I'm pleased to say that since I republished it on Monday, it's kind of, I don't want to say gone viral, but there's been about 500 views and shares. So for, I'd say that's the start of a article that could possibly go viral. And I really hope it does, because this Jewess, this anti-white Jewess, I used her own words against her. Again, a gift horse's chewy mouth. I don't have to say anything anti-Semitic or racist. I let these Jews do the talk. talking for themselves. That's blatant. That's how much chutzpah Jews have these days. They think they can get it, and they are getting away with it, but as more and more of these types of articles I publish in English make it around, I think that they will not get away with it as much and as easily as they have been. All right, so while I was explaining a little who, I still haven't decided which one I want to start with. Three articles. One of them takes place in the United States, and then the other two have to do with South Africa. This really is timeless. These interviews, these transcripts we'll be revealing today. And, well, how if I start with the new information that I've not published? I think that'll be it. This introduction, it is a booklet that contains the text of a most revealing and shocking interview of a Jew by the name of Harold Rosenthal. Okay, folks? And this interview was conducted in 1976 by a concerned patriot, a Walter White Jr., okay? Now, Mr. Rosenthal was an influential Jew, learned in the Jewish ways, right, and was involved in the workings of government in Washington, D.C. He explained the Jewish involvement and cause of the major problems that us Aryans face today. Rosenthal, in exposing certain aspects of the inner invisible world of Jewry, otherwise known as the New Jew World Order, boy, they revealed the modes and tactics that Jews have used in destroying Aryan civilization and covertly attaining control over our lives, over our governments, and just over everything within our societies and countries. And the result has been a hidden tyranny upon us, like the tyranny waged against every other revolution that Jews have perpetrated upon Aryan nations. You can think of the French Revolution. You can think of the Soviet Revolution. Even the American Revolution, folks. So, how could such a small number of Jews enslave so many people and gain such an overwhelming control over our government, folks, especially without really their being aware of it? Good question. We are not aware of it, and they don't even usually have to fire a shot anymore, at least. Yes, they did fire shots during the Bolshevik Revolution and the French Revolution. But today, hell, they have been able to masterfully engage in these coups, really, without firing a shot. Think of South Africa in 1994. They handed over a Boer Republic, a Boer nation, on a silver Jew platter to these Negroids, okay? Without a shot. And look at how many Aryans, Boers, have been genocided here since then. 80,000 plus, folks. So, in other words, the Jew, with his worldly mindset, is really wiser, or has become wiser, than us. And when you hear these words of Mr. Rosenthal, the reality of this statement, well, it will come to light. And this problem was so prevalent and important for us to overcome that even the Bible leaves us a clue. And it told us that or instructed us that we needed to be, quote, wise as serpents, right? Wise as serpents, because the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Yes, the children of, well, the devil, if you will, you know, the Jew. The Jewish children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light, i.e. the Aryans. Yeah, they've been able to manipulate us. They've been able to run amok and do as they will in this world while we become more and more enslaved. So who was Harold Wallace Rosenthal? Well, Harold was born November 2nd, 1947, and died August 11th, 1976, and was a senior aide to then-Senator Jacob K. Javits. Boy, they. Okay? Rosenthal was murdered in a PLO, or possibly just by Mossad agents posing as PLO. I believe PLO stands for Palestine Land Occupation or something. But yes, the Jews, the Mossad, are thought to have murdered or gotten rid of one of their own for opening his big horse mouth, a little too big, if you will. All right? And Rosenthal worked for Hugh Carey, the 51st governor of New York, and he also worked for Walter Mondale, the 42nd vice president of the United States. So there's a little bit about him. Now, in a highly confidential interview with a Jewish administrative assistant to one of this nation's ranking senators, he said, quote, "It is a marvel that the American people do not rise up and drive every Jew out of this country," unquote. The Jew, Mr. Harold Rosenthal, boy, they made this statement after admitting Jewish dominance in all significant national programs. He said, quote, "We Jews continue to be amazed with the ease by which Christian Americans have fallen into our hands, while the naive American sits for the, naive Americans wait for Khrushchev to bury them. We have taught them to submit to our every command." Boy, they. All right, I don't know if I can do Jew voice very long today, folks. So, I'll do it where appropriate, but there's a lot of words coming from Rosenthal's Jewy mouth. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to do Jew voice the entire time. But continuing on, this submission has been made possible by the gradual adoption of Talmudic concepts as being Christian, thus producing a Jewish society. It was Rabbi Martin Siegel called the Judaization of Christianity. Okay? So when asked how a nation could be captured without us knowing it, Mr. Rosenthal attributed this victory to absolute control of the media. He boasted of Jewish control of all the media. Any newspaper which refused to absolute control of the media, right? Now, he boasted of Jewish control of all the media, and of course, any newspaper which refused to acquiesce the controlled news was brought to its knees by withdrawing advertising. That's right. Failing in this, the Jews stopped the supply of newsprint and ink. Quote, "It's a very simple matter," unquote, Rosenthal stated. Yeah, so there you have it, folks. Jews control the media, nothing new, right? But this is why the internet is so important, folks, because we don't have to rely on Jews, Inc., and the Jews newsprint in order to get our message out. This is, well, very important, as I have talked about the Bolshevik cyber warfare and how they've been trying to shut individuals like myself up. So we must not allow them to, control the ink and control the news, if you will, on the internet. The ink, meaning, my mouth, getting it out there. Or, the typing, the print doesn't take ink anymore, but they still are able to control the websites, and we need to keep pushing our message, even if they keep trying to shut it down, as they say. So, when asked about men in higher political office, Mr. Rosenthal said that no one in the last three decades has achieved any political power without Jewish approval. Quote, Americans have not had a presidential choice since 1932, when Franklin Roosevelt, i.e. Franklin Rosenfeld, was our man. Boy, they. Every president since Rosenfeld has been our man. Even before Rosenfeld, the Jewish influence upon Woodrow Wilson was quite evident, as Henry Ford wrote in 1921. Quote, Mr. Wilson, while president, was very close to the Jews, and his administration, as everyone knows, was predominantly Jewish. Unquote. And that is from the International Jew, Dearborn Publishing Company, pages 28 to 29. Now, in a discussion about George Wallace, Mr. Rosenthal smiled and suggested that we note where Wallace stands today. When the U.S. foreign policy was mentioned, the bedroom confidence of the interview was all but set aside. With disdain and mockery, he sneered at the American stupidity in failing to see through the entire scope of Kissinger's foreign policy. Quote, it is Zionist communist policy from beginning to end. Yes, folks, there you have it. Again, William D. Hewitt, proven right. It is not just Zionist. It is not just communist. It is Zionist and communist policy. And as I've explained in past shows, Zionism and communism, well, it is just political Judaism. That is also what the democratic process is, what the capitalist process is. They all fit together. Zionism, communism, democracy, and capitalism, folks, they all support one another. They all need one another for each system to work. And this is political Judaism. That's all there is to it. Understand that what political Judaism is, and, well, it is impossible for anyone not to understand what is going on. All right? Many people think that Judaism is just some Kabbalistic or Talmudist or black magic spiritual craft that the Jews have stolen and perverted into their own ways. No, folks, you must understand the political aspect of Judaism, which is, like I said, Zionism, communist, democracy, capitalism, all for one another. They all prop one up. Alright? So, it is this Zionist communist party from beginning to end, right? And yet, the citizens of this United States that this Jewish policy will benefit America. That's a quote. He's admitting, mocking the Americans. Now, the reason for this is because the Jewish media refers to the Zionist communist policy as American policy, pursuant to constitutional provisions. Yes, the Constitution, as Mark Jew Levin would say. Yes, ignorance of our own system of government, folks, really is the issue here. And he actually cited Detente and Angola as examples of Jewish diplomacy. The credulous nature of Americans drew only contempt from him. So this interview, as I said, is very, very long, and I've only just got started, folks. The interview, the part here I will be going through, continued on with a quote. We Jews have put, here, I'll try to do my Jew voice. We Jews have put issue upon issue to the American people. Then we promote both sides of the issue as confusion reigns. With their eyes fixed on the issues, they fail to see who is behind every scene. We Jews toy with the American public as a cat toys with a mouse. End quote. Yo, Mr. Rosenthal, what are we going to do with you? I think right there, Mr. Rosenthal has admitted to the big alien dialectic. Now, hasn't he? Yes, he says, then we promote both sides of the issue as confusion reigns. That's right, both sides of the issue, the liberal and conservative, the Democrat and Republican, the capitalist and the communist. See what I'm getting at here, folks? This is what Jews do. They have you divided and conquered as they create both sides of the argument, and you, the dumb goyim, who cannot think for themselves, well, you argue back and forth over Jewish policies that neither benefit you, but they indeed do benefit the Jew. Now, as the conversation went on into the late hours, one could sense that perhaps America deserves the reign of terror being planned for her. The Jewish mind pits every ethnic group against the other. Quote, the blood of the masses will flow as we wait for our day of world victory, unquote, Mr. Rosenthal said coldly. This is the same dialogue spoken by, well, communist revolutionary leaders. Yeah, and I wouldn't just limit that to communists. You see, Jews are, they like Rosenthal just said, plays both sides. There's the communist side, and then there's the Zionist side. The communists, they want the entire world to be under their control, as do the Zionists. You see, most people think that Zion means a return to the homeland, where Jews will all go back to Israel and live happily ever after. But you see, because people cannot think like Jews or understand the way Jews think, they get themselves in trouble. Zionism has nothing to do with Jews going back to Israel and parasiting off one another there as they leave the rest of the world alone. No, folks, real Zionists, they plan to take over the world where it is all in Jewish control. They don't want Israel as their homeland. They want the entire world as their homeland. Do you see what I'm getting at here, folks? They will not parasite off of themselves in Israel. They will scatter throughout the world, take over every country using communism in order to have their Zionist dream of world domination come true. Zionism is when Jews are in control of every nation, and Jews will be able to parasite off of all peoples of host countries. You see, Jews cannot, it is against Jewish law, they cannot parasite off of one another. They need a host. They need to be in full control of every individual country and its people all around the world so that they can parasite and enslave them and become filthy rich as they sit back like effendis and eat, to quote, what's that vile Jew, Ismail Levitz, or is it some other vile Jew? I can't remember. Oh, disgusting how they get away with this. So, since the time that this lengthy interview was recorded, Mr. Harold Rosenthal, at the time, was age 29, and the administrative assistant to Senator Jacob K. Javits of New York. Well, he was killed in an alleged skyjacking attempt on an Israeli airliner in Istanbul, Turkey, August 12, 1976. Now, it would appear that Mr. Rosenthal might have talked too freely, because although four people were killed and some 30 injured during this skyjacking attempt, Rosenthal was not killed by a random bullet, as were the others. Nope. From reports secured at the time, it seems amazing and strange that all of the people involved in this incident, that Mr. Rosenthal should have been fatally wounded. Meanwhile, the interviewer, Walter White, who conducted this confidential interview, can now state, after much investigation, expense, and travel, that Harold Rosenthal was undoubtedly murdered at the Istanbul airport in what was to appear as a hijacking, probably by his own people. Yes, folks, the Mossad. There is nothing that the international Jew fears so much as the truth, or any hint of the truth about himself or his plan. That is a quote from The International Jew, Volume 1, page 200. So we had to, no desire, well, I'm not going to read this part here. The author, well, I guess I will. The author, Mr. White, says, "We had no desire to hurt anyone, and especially members of the Rosenthal family who had suffered enough in this tragedy." Yeah, I think I will not read that, because it's pathetic. Out of respect, we decided to wait a year until after Mr. Rosenthal had passed. Yeah, bullshit. You tell him like it is. I don't care if it's disrespectful. If a Jew, if it comes out of a Jew's mouth, we deserve to know it. I'm not going to wait a year. So anyway, it says, it goes on this interview here, what you're about to read should act as a warning to all non-Jews throughout the world, and it hopefully should open up the eyes of many who knew him in Washington government circles. I don't care about people that Rosenthal knew in government circles. I care about the Aryan folk. Oh, Jesus. When asked if Rosenthal was a Zionist, he replied, quote, "That's a hell of a question. At the foundation of the issue is the traditional Zionist concept of Aliyah, a Hebrew term meaning the, quote, ingathering or return of diaspora Jews to the Palestine homeland. Ever since 1948, in the creation of the State of Israel, Aliyah has become a basic imperative of Israeli government policy." So, what is Aliyah? Will you please spell it for me? Wherein he did, and we inquired as to the realistic meaning of Aliyah. Mr. R. said, quote, "It is a permanent physical migration to Palestine, not just a visit." All right, so folks, this is getting at what I just said. Aliyah evidently is the return to, Israel. That is what people think Zionism is. But I told you, Zionism is much more than just Aliyah. Zionism is total control of the entire world, okay? For as open as Mr. Rosenthal is, he still doesn't tell us the truth. You still need individuals like myself to spell it out, to point the lies out, or the half-truths out. Mr. Rosenthal, goes on to boast, I think is a good word, that millions of tax-exempt American dollars are sent to Israel yearly, and we true Americans do not like this. Okay, now that wasn't Mr. Rosenthal, that was Mr. White, okay? And Mr. Rosenthal replied, but before I read his reply, may I remind you, folks, that this interview was back in 1976. Okay? 1976. Millions of tax-exempt dollars are sent to Israel yearly. This is back in 1976, folks. How many, I don't even remember. It's some absurd number. A day? Some crazy number that American dollars are sent to Israel? Some outrageous number a day being sent to Israel today in 2019. I remember, I don't remember necessarily vividly 1976 because I was born in 74. I know that things were a lot less expensive. So, in perspective, all right? Rosenthal replied to that, millions of tax exempt dollar sentence, all right? He said, "The naive politicians in Washington are gullible. Most are not too bright. So the powerful Jewish lobbyists influenced this practice years ago, and there's no one strong enough to stop it." Afraid he isn't lying to us there, is he now, folks? Some of that money even returned to the United States and spent on Zionist propaganda efforts, much of it through the B'nai B'rit in the Conference of Jewish Organizations in the World Jewish Congress. The Jewish Agency is a funding arm, a sort of body of B'nai B'rith officials. There is nothing wrong with sending American dollars to Israel tax-free so long as we are smart enough to get away with it. I want to scream. Let's reverse this conversation for a minute. You made it clear and quite vociferously that you don't like Jews. Why do you hate us? Yeah. Mr. Rosenthal, reversing the conversation. Mr. Rosenthal, says Mr. White, I do not hate anybody. I said I hate what Jews are doing to us, and especially as it relates to any and everything related, well, he says, to Christianity. Christ insanity. He says, Mr. White, I hate their deceit, cunning, and their detestable dishonesty. Does that make me anti-Semitic? If it does, then I am anti-Semitic. Well, oy vey, that's what I've been saying all these years, Mr. White. I, William D. Hewitt, really do not want to hate anybody, but I absolutely hate what Jews are doing to my Aryan race. If that makes me an anti-Semite, well, oy freaking vey, then I, William D. Hewitt, am an anti-Semite. And more of my folk should be as well. I know we do not want to hate people. I know it goes against our Aryan nation. But, folks, we need to start hating those whom are genociding us. Those whom take joy in genociding us.
Well, William, if I could add something, I mean, it's not even needing to be about hating them, right? We're hating the control, the international Jewry, which controls and exploits all of us. We hate that. And if that makes us an anti-Semite, well, sorry. We hate the Jewish supremacy. And if that makes us an anti-Semite,
that's
well,
right.
I'm sorry. But we're certainly not needing to hate any of these other ethnicities, even Jews, if they could stay with their own people. Maybe just all go to Madagascar and make sure that Jews do all of the work for other Jews in their own land without getting into any of our business exploiting all of our lands.
Oh, no, that will never happen, though, Richard. I wish that could happen. But it is against Jewish law for Jews to parasite off of one another. So this is why they do it to us. They have to in order to survive. And yes, you're right. Like I said, I am an anti-Semite. But as you and I know, and unfortunately many of our folk do not know, they have created that word anti-Semite to mean that, you hate Jews and that you want to genocide or Holocaust 6 million more, right? No, that's not what anti-Semitism means to me. I am against Jewish policies. I am against their supremacy, like you said. But you see, we have to make that clear to our people somehow. And with them controlling the narrative, it's very, very difficult to bring that point across.
Absolutely.
Which is why it's so important that I reveal these words coming out of their own mouth. Continue on here. Yes, anti-Semitism does not signify opposition to Semitism. There is no such thing. This is according to Mr. Rosenthal, I believe. It is an expression we Jews use effectively as a smear word used to brand as a bigot like you guys. Anyone who brings criticism against us. We use it against hate-mongers. Yes, hate-mongers. Anti-Semitism is a recent creation by Jews. Coming straight out of the horse's mouth, folks. Jews tell us what constitutes anti-Semitism and when it exists, right? All the anti-Semitism that exists in the United States and really in the world is the deliberate creation of Jewish leaders. The Jews want and need this tool to control and silence the opposition to their harmful and repugnant ways, folks. This is how they do it. This is what Richard and I just explained. It was made clear that I despise the Jews, right? I'm reading Mr. White here. corrupt influence on our, well, again, he says, Christian culture. For now on, I'm just going to say Aryan culture, folks, wherever it says Christian, okay? And on our properly Aryan-oriented American way of life, to which Mr. Rosenthal said, quote, during Christ's time, the Jews were seeking a material and earthly kingdom, but Christ offered the Jews a spiritual kingdom. This they couldn't buy, so they rejected Jesus Christ and had him crucified. End quote. What do you mean, had him crucified? Doesn't history prove that the Jews crucified Jesus Christ? To which he answered, now wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't history prove that Jews crucified Jesus? No, this is DeHewitt speaking here, folks. No, Jews, according to my knowledge, did not crucify Jesus. It was the Romans. However, we have to understand that Jews were in control of Rome back then. So in essence, it really was Jews who had Jesus Christ crucified, if there even was a Jesus. All right? You see, we could talk about that for hours. And I hate it when people focus on the Christ insanity aspect of it, because it's another Hegelian dialectic. It's a waste of time. Who cares if Jews killed Jesus or Romans killed Jesus or if Jesus even existed? The point here is that Jews want to, they admit that they didn't want a spiritual kingdom. They want a materialistic kingdom. That's right, a materialistic kingdom, a physical, worldly. All right? So he goes on and says, I can see that it is you and your kind who tried to get Christ out of Christmas. I feel sorry for you. To which he replied, see that shit. I don't want your pity. I don't. Too many Jews do not get to tell you how we live in. But I am not invaded by anyone or anything. I know where I'm going. End quote. Yeah. We know where you're going, Mr. Rosenthal. You're going to the grave because, well, you did us, William, one too many favor by opening your big chewy mouth. Thankfully. Yeah, folks, again, this happened in 1976. It is still relevant to this very day. Nothing's changed. In fact, it's gotten worse. We think this is bad, what I'm revealing here right now. Yeah, it's bad, but oh my, does it get worse? And it still matters, because though it's been almost, what, 40 years later, or over 40 years later, they still have not completely wrapped it up yet. They're still struggling to completely annihilate us. And I'm one who will not stop fighting until I'm dead. So as long as air is circulating through my lungs and through my blood, well, folks, this information is important, and we need to still put it out there and try to influence as many of our folk as possible. I refuse to die on my knees. I will fight till the death on my feet, using my tongue, using the sword, i.e. the pen, and the real sword if I have to. Whatever it comes down to, folks, we need to defend ourselves. And we need to not only defend, but, you know, go on the offensive every once in a while. Oh, I know. You shouldn't be, you better watch it to hear it. You're going to be promoting violence. if you keep up your sharp tongue. All right, so the conversation went into government and political control. And when asked that why do Jews frequently change their names, he said, Mr. Rosenthal said, quote, Jews are the most intelligent people in the world. So if it benefits us to change our names, they do so. That's all there is to it. They mix in with your society, which is plenty corrupt. So while the Jews are benefiting themselves, the dumb goy don't realize that these Jews with non-Jew names are Jews. I know what you're thinking about Jews in the government who use non-Jew names. Well, don't be concerned, because in the foreseeable future, there will be no presidential poller in the United States. The invisible government is taking strength in that direction, unquote. To your knowledge, says Mr. White, are the Jews in Russia really persecuted, or are they given any kind of freedom? To which he said, most Jews throughout the world, I can't do Jew voice anymore, folks. Most Jews, this is Rosenthal speaking. Most Jews throughout the world, I'd say more than 90% know what is really happening to our people. There you have it. Rosenthal said, most Jews throughout the world, more than 90% know what is really happening to the Aryan people. So, Rosenthal says, and dispels the myth, that it's not all Jews who are genociding us. Yes, it is! If Jews are not physically doing the genocide, well, then they know about it. And not doing anything about it, to me, folks, means they're genociding us. Their failure to say anything and to stand up to their own kind, well, in my book, folks, that is genocide. Okay? So, most Jews throughout the world, I'd say more than 90% know what's really happening to your people, the Aryan people. We have communication unequaled anywhere. It is only the jerks, the ignorant, and the misinformed and degenerates who can find peace in your society. And you bastards hide your sins by donning sheep's clothing. You are the hypocrites, not the Jews, as you say and write about. And to answer your question, in Russia, there are two distinct governments, one visible and the other invisible. Different nationalities, whereas the invisible is composed of all Jews. The powerful Soviet secret police takes its orders from the invisible government. There are about 6 to 7 million communists in Soviet Russia. 50% are Jews and 50% are Gentiles. But the Gentiles are not trusted. The communist Jews are united and trust each other. While some call it communism, right? Others spy on one another. About 5 or 6 years, the secret Jewish, we'll call it Judaism. Yeah, there is a few typos in there, but I think you got the point. This is in 76, folks. So he's admitting that Jews are behind the Soviet Union. Jews are the Bolsheviks. And even though the communism in the Soviet Union crashed, if you will, or the wall came tumbling down, well, all they did was consolidate power. The illusion of the Cold War wasn't benefiting them anymore. So now, basically, it's out in the open. They've become democratic. You see, like I said in the beginning of the show, you need In order for Zionism and communism to work, you need the other half. You need democracy. You need capitalism. Hell, capitalists funded the Soviet Union's revolution. Wall Street bankers like Jacob Schiff and Warburg and a bunch of other Jews with lots of shekels, boy, they, yes, folks, they funded the Soviet Union's revolution. So I am absolutely correct when I say that Zionism, communism, democracy, capitalism, they need one another to work. And put it bluntly, you can call it political Judaism. All of it. So, picking up here, he says, or Mr. White asks, does our government in the United Nations have knowledge of this? And Mr. Rosenthal said the United Nations is nothing but a trapdoor to the Red World's immense concentration camp. We pretty much control the UN. And when asked why the communists destroy the middle class or educated in their entire families when they invade a country, Mr. Rosenthal replied, it is an established rule to destroy all members of pre-existing government, their families and relatives, but never Jews. They destroy all members of the police state, army officers, and whatever, blah, 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 all their families, but never Jews. It goes on, folks. It goes on and on. There will be a forced class of warfare here in the United States, and many will be liquidated. You will unquestionably be among them, Mr. White. The Jews will not be harmed. I'm not boasting. I'm giving you the facts. And it is too late for your Christian followers to put up a defense. That time is long past. Long, long ago, we had to become the aggressors. And that is undoubtedly one of our great purposes in life. We are the aggressors. Yeah, you say that again. After reminding him that we thought he was intelligent, but now realize that he doesn't know what he was talking about, he replied, Judaism is the unequal culture with nothing anywhere in the world to compare it with. Your so-called Christianity is an outgrowth of Judaism. The cultural and intellectual influence of Judaism is felt throughout the entire world. Yes, throughout Aryan civilization. Again, folks, he is boasting. He's rubbing it in. When Mr. White asked whether he thought that we faced a problem, eventually with the blacks, because of their startling population increase, he said that the blacks are helping to serve our purpose. You heard it. Our purpose. The Jews' purpose. Now, they discussed that the black invasion of city, country, and state and their prominence now in television, and also how ridiculous it is for blacks to become converted to Jews, like Sammy Davis, for instance. Mr. R. replied, that doesn't mean anything. We know that a black cannot become a Jew, and that Sammy Davis is still black. Yes, folks, yes, Negroids, the Jews pretend to like you, and they really do use you to do their bidding, but they will destroy you in the end, too. As soon as you're done doing their bidding by genociding the Aryan race, you too will be gone. But unfortunately, it seems that these blacks have no clue what's going on in the world because they actually think that Jews are white. So, if they think Jews are white, what chance do we have? This is why I have been thinking of changing my tactics lately. You know, I've been reaching out to my Aryan race as much as I possibly could over the years. But, you know, I can only reach so many. Maybe it's time I change my tactics and start reaching out to non-whites. And yes, I am going to do that. But, you know, folks, I could give up on my people. You know, I was just listening to a show that I had done 2 years ago. And I said just that. At that point, when I did, I was extremely, I guess, irritated or disheartened, because time, it seemed as if I wasn't getting anywhere with my own people. And, you know, since then, I've fought improvement. I've seen a lot of our folk come around. So, you know, I'm glad that I guess, give up completely on our folk. Yes, in the future, you will be seeing me reach out to more. Because I'm reaching out to more, that does not mean that I want to live amongst them. That doesn't mean that, you know, I hate my own. No, folks. The only reason why I feel it's necessary to reach out to non-whites is because we're getting our asses kicked by ourselves, and we need, I think, at this point in time, other races to assist us in our genocide. Because I think they see it more than our own race does. That when we're gone, it's going to be their turn next. So it is their within their benefit to stand up for the Aryan race. The last part of this Rosenthal interview I thought was very interesting. Now, the part is called "The Light Dawns." Now, rarely does any man confess the intimacy of his soul as Mr. Rosenthal did. Hindsight suggests that there was a greater force compelling this man to reveal what has been written here, and that the remainder of the interview seems to confirm this. Now, the quote, here's a quote. This is Rosenthal. "Since we do not believe in a life after death, all of our efforts are directed to the now. We are not as foolish as you and will never adopt an ideology that is rooted in self-sacrifice, whereas you will live and die for the benefit of the community. We will live and die only for our own individual Jewish self. The idea of self-sacrifice is abhorred by Jews. It is abhorred to me. No cause is worth dying lot, since death is the end. The only time we unite is to preserve our individual selves, as a group of wolves unite to attack a prey, but then disperse after each is filled. So we Jews unite when peril is pending, not to preserve our community, but to save our own skin." This attitude permeates entirely as their philosophy, right, folks? And, well, yeah, this is still the same quote, I believe. "This attitude permeates our entire being and philosophy. We are not the creators, for to create would only benefit another. The white race has clearly been the creators in terms of inventions, achievements, etc., etc. And by them, all the families or races of the world have been blessed or have benefited from them, as prophesied in Genesis 12:13 and 12 or 28:14. This proves Jews are not God's chosen people. We are the acquirers and are interested only in satisfying the self." Folks, do I have to remind you? This is a Jew telling us this. To understand our philosophy, understand the term to get. We never give, but only take. We never labor, but enjoy the fruits of others' labor. We do not create, but confiscate. We are not the producers, but the parasites. We can physically live within any society, but always remain spiritually apart. To work would be to produce, and the highest form of that labor would be to create. Your race has always worked for the satisfaction of what it produces. We would never work for anyone's benefit, only for what we can get. We have used this Aryan attitude to achieve our greatest prosperity. You will work for the enjoyment you derive out of producing while never being concerned about the pay. We take your productivity for a paltry fee and turn it into fortunes. Wow. That right there, folks, it says it all. That is all you really need to know. The Jew voice anymore. Until recently, the pride of workmanship exceeded the quest for high incomes. However, we have been able to enslave society to our own power, which is money. By causing them to seek after it, we have converted the people to our philosophy of getting and acquiring so that they will never be satisfied. A dissatisfied people are the pawns in our game of world conquest. Thus, they are always seeking and never able to find satisfaction. The very moment they seek happiness outside of themselves, they become our willing servants. Your people will never realize that we offer them only worthless baubles that cannot bring fulfillment. They procure one and consume it and are not filled. They procure one and consume it and are not filled. We present another. We have an infinite number of outward distractions to the extent that life cannot gain, turn inward to wait. To the extent that life cannot again turn inward to find its definite fulfillment. You have become addicted to our medicine through which we have become your absolute masters. For this reason, Christ said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Again, by Mr. Rosenthal. Oy vey. Oh, how much more should I go on here? Yeah, he goes on and says that, you know, people believe that we're not a nation, but a religion.
Oh, well, that's the scam
they
use.
That, folks, they are, I would not say they're a race, they are a race.
Now, William, that's the scam they use again and again. They're using the race card when it's more appropriate and the religion card when it's more appropriate. They morph in and out of one, the other, or both whenever it's to their advantage to switch around.
Absolutely right.
I'll try to just talk on the topic for a few minutes for future whenever I can. If we lose you again, but yeah, this is a great topic, and you're really getting to the heart of it.
Have I been coming through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally it's a little bit choppy, but when I think of what Mike Sledge was talking about, how much he loves the authenticity of recordings with everything from background noise to those glitches, talking about William Pearson, William Cooper's noise and static, just adding to the genuineness of the message we're trying to get out there. The counter message isn't trying to be polished. That's the establishment of international Jewry that has the kind of funding and presentation of that anyway. So, no. But yeah, you sound fine if some glitches happen. I think that's fine because, yeah, like I say, it just adds to that. But no, everything's good enough, so I'm not worried about, you know, for future swapping recordings.
Is the Jew voice a little too much, or are the listeners getting sick of it, or should I back off of the Jew voice?
Yeah, you know, just maybe occasionally for right with certain quotes, certain sentences, it's particularly appropriate. Otherwise, it is a lot of times easier to take in large amounts of quotes and information, not being distracted by the by both. But no, it's been great. I want you to please continue. As I say, I'll take over if ever necessary for you to jump back on. And it's a great show.
Okay. In the write-up of the show, you'll be able to find this transcript, and you can read through it yourselves. And what I'm going to do now is get to my articles that I've written. I've recently republished them, and one is about some Jew named Cohen. This interview or transcript of Cohen from the Council of Foreign Relations, it has to do with South Africa. Now, I'm pretty sure this, I mean, it was, I don't know if it was exactly 1976, but it was in the 70s when this transcript was originally published. And it was a guy named Cohen who basically was mocking the South Africans and telling us what telling us that the revolution that took place in 1994, basically what said is that he was admitting that there was going to be a revolution in 1994. He didn't say the year 1994, but everything that happened in 1994 came true. And while, you know, there's nothing we can do about, you know, the revolution that took place in South Africa in 1994, we can use it as a lesson. We can use it as an example of today. When Jews tell us something, when they open their Jewy gift horse mouths, well, we need to pay attention. Yes, a lot of times they just tell us bullshit. I'll use Barbara Lerner Spector as an example of today. She could be the Mr. Rosenthal of the 70s. She can be Cohen of the 70s. Barbara Lerner Spector said that Europe has not yet learned to be multicultural and that Jews are going to be at the forefront of this new change. So we had to take Barbara Lerner Spector at her word. We need to do something about it. Right now, Europe's being flooded. Everything she told us is coming true. We need to point out these quotes that Jews are telling us, and we need to stop them and learn when to, how to spot them and learn how to do something about it before they can implement their plans. So, yes, I will go through this transcript. It's nowhere near as long as Mr. Rosenthal. And then after that, I will use my article about Shuttle as a reference to explain to what is going on today with South Africa after Kellen has told us 20 years ahead of the revolution that took place here in 94. He warned us 20 years ahead. So, Harris Cohen admits white shed in South Africa. And I will use another quote to remind you folks that he's not kidding. This quote is from Ishmael Levitz. And he says that it is in the Jewish interest, it is in humanity's interest that whites experience a genocide until white children are burned alive. White women are raped, mutilated, murdered. And all white men who have not been slaughtered watch powerlessly as their people are terrorized. Only then will mankind be on a more equal footing. ready to discuss white privilege and the apparent chip on the shoulder that minorities have. Yes, folks, something wicked and dark has cometh our way. Jews, get out of every nation they've ever inhabited in history. Everyone but Jews are the problem. Yes, folks, 100% criminals. This transcript that I'm about to read was sent to me by a Facebook friend, okay? And as far as we know, the source is unknown. So I'd like to thank my friend Sandy Herman for sharing this with me. And in this transcript, well, it explains nearly everything that I have been writing about for the last 6 or 7 years, more like almost 10 years now, because this was written about 4 or 5 years ago. Now, I feel vindicated after all this time, for I have been relentlessly called an anti-Semite, a Nazi, racist, a white supremacist, and all the other labels these lowly Jew parasites throw at us, defenders and warriors of the white Aryan race. World slavery on the horizon toward a Jew world order. And after that, if you are looking at the article, which is the Hewitt House of Publications and Radio.blogspot.com, you go there, and at the top, you'll see Paris Jew Cohen admits white genocide. And, yes, I have a picture here of all the white-looking Afrikaner Jews who founded the ANC, who were implementing this Negroid takeover of South Africa. Yes, the takeover, the Negroid takeover of South Africa, folks, was most definitely a Jewish takeover. The ANC is Jewish. It was founded in the United Kingdom by Yiddish British Jews. Now, the following extract is from an eye-opening interview with Mr. Cohen in the Council of Foreign Relations in America, and was obtained by one of our patriotic South Africans. I'm not sure when this interview was being given, but it was obtained by a young South African on the date of February 5th, 1991. And his name has been protected for security reasons. So we don't know who actually got their hands on this transcript. I had the feeling that it was in the 70s because of some of the people who are mentioned, like Henry Kissinger. I'm going to start the quote here by Mr. Cohen of the Council for Foreign Relations. Consolidation and control of all wealth and you, that is what socialism and communism is. You human cattle have no idea of what is happening around the world and in your country, South Africa. You have fallen for every lie we have spun for you, and you haven't even realized that we control almost every newspaper and television station in the world. You are so busy worrying about yourselves and worshiping mammon, money, that you have lost the ability to think for yourselves. We Jews are destroying your will to fight. We will not even need an army to beat you. Psychologically, through our control or our continual bombardment of misinformation, we will destroy you. By continually feeding you with so many ideas, arguments, and counter-arguments that you can no longer decide what is right and wrong. You human cattle, you filthy goyim, do not even know the basic concepts of what we're doing and why we are doing it. It is because under socialism, the state owns and controls everything, including you, and quite simply, we intend to own the state. Once we have controlled each country, we will control the world through the UN International Police and Military Force. We have perfected the ability to manipulate you and for you to accept things even at your own expense. Take, for example, the New World Order. By the time we are finished with you, you will be begging us to implement it without realizing what you will be asking for. It will be the surrender of control over your economic and personal freedom. Once you have accepted the New World Order, we will own you. We will isolate each of you so that you will not be able to trust your own children. We will destroy the family unit, and therefore the only way you will survive will be to stay politically pure, or in other words, support us and fulfill without dissent your jobs, which make you useful. You cattle have not even realized that you are about to become slaves. Well, I would argue we've been slaves for quite some time, Mr. Cohen. You are incapable of thinking for yourselves. Take, for example, you have not even realized that we control your government. It is no longer a national government looking after your own interests. No, it is an international government looking after ours. We bought Pete Botha, Pete Kornhoff, and F.W. de Klerk and their likes years ago. Communists are our agents. In other words, our servants. It was our kind. The Rockefellers, the Kissingers, the Derossios, and the Oppenheimers of this world who gave communism life, financed it. We have controlled and directed it in such a way that we can give it a facelift and a new name like social democracy, democratic socialism, and you will believe that is dead.
Yeah, you have a
that
caller.
You believe that communism is dead. Yes.
Yes, you have a caller on the line. This is a fellow host at the station, Jared Daniel. He's Rosemarie's co-host on Monday, and he just started a brand new show on Tuesdays as well. Bloodline Frontline.
Oh, okay. Well, let me say hello to him.
Jared?
Yeah, please. Let me take a call to him. And
Hello. This is Jared Daniel.
Jared.
William DeHewitt, it's an honor to meet you, good sir.
Well, what we were discussing earlier is just quoting a lot of prominent Jews themselves on this white genocide agenda and this multiculturalism that they're bringing in, they're ushering in, admitting they're at the center of all of this engineered demographic change and replacement level immigration, as far as the demographic change. What would you say on that, or have you heard some of these people admitting these things as well, these kind of quotes?
Yeah, you know, it's I think people are missing out on the bigger picture and why they're doing this. You know, one of the most important books to read is the Protocols of Zion, and what they're doing is they are intentionally destabilizing society. They're creating a problem so that it becomes so intense that people will beg for a savior, you know, a figure that will restore the balance. And of course, the Jews will set themselves up to put a figurehead that of their own choosing, who they claim will be of the bloodline of King David. And when we look at what's going on today, we see the exact same patterns they describe in that book. They're intentionally destabilizing society so that it gets so chaotic, people will beg for a Jewish fascist. You know, now, National Socialism, you know, we want the Aryans want their own white Führer. You know, we don't want a Jewish David descendant. You know, to tell you how deep this sick rabbit hole goes, I came off a real disturbing article of how Jews are trying to normalize, you know, pedophilia. And the article pretty much laid out the plan. The reason why the alt-right is getting bombarded with so many articles is because the far-right is the only opposition, National Socialism. So the purpose of these articles are not to inform, but to desensitize people. And already in the education system, they're sitting there trying to normalize it. Like, they're going by the name of Kynes now instead of gay. The reason why LGBT went by the name of gay is because the appositive, you know, it's the definition of the word gay means happy. So these pedophiles are referring to themselves as Kynes, K-I-N-D, which is derived from the word kindergarten, because kind is German for children. But in English, it also means gentle, caring, passionate. This is one of the sick games they're playing. So this whole thing is orchestrated. And they even admit, and like I said, when you go back to the Protocol of Zion, it's all about creating the problem and then offering the solution. Problem, react, solution, formula. And this is what this is all about. This is all, if you wonder why are they doing this chaotic stuff, they're doing it intentionally to break down society so people are so demoralized that people will beg for someone to rise to power and take over. Now, I agree with that, but we don't need someone of Jewish descent taking over. We need someone from the white Aryan race to rise up, overthrow these Jewish bastards, and take control for ourselves. So, yeah, I mean, I've heard Jews pretty much admit this, and what blows me away is the number of people who are still oblivious to this, who still support Israel, who just, it's like the writings are all on the walls, but they don't want to hear it. It goes over the ear, they hear what they want to hear, but the Jews themselves are at a point where they don't even care. They're just telling people the truth. You know, they're telling people whites need to go extinct. They're telling people that pedophilia needs to be legalized and that white blacks need to take over. And they know what the consequences will be to society if they do this. They've known all along of every social movement they've engineered. And it's time that we went after the culprits full force, and that's what the Jews don't want. They talk about their end game. And I've heard political figures make reference, Zionist globalist figures make reference to the word end game, you know, keeping their eye on the prize. So they have an agenda with a goal. This all has a purpose. And, you know, it's there for those who want to see it. It's real. It doesn't get any more real than what's going on. When you look around, you see the evidence all around you. And it just blows my mind how hard, you know, just people just don't want to buy into it and don't realize that, hey, there was a man who had a solution, and his name was Adolf Hitler. And we need, as whites, if we're going to reclaim our society, we need to realize that our government has been compromised, and we have no choice as a white race to stand up and establish a new one. There's no, we can't save the system. It is collapsing. It is destroyed. Whites need to wake up and realize we got to reclaim power and we got to do it on our own. And it's going to be like the 300 Spartans against the 100,000 Persians. You know, 300 white folks fighting 100,000 progressive, liberal, cultural Marxist Jews. And that's right. Basically the God honest truth.
Yeah.
William, Jared was just mentioning as well how out in the open the Jews are now about their plans to replace whites, and how, you know, they find that the future will be better once they're gone, as if what they call racism will be gone. They try to associate any ethnic awareness with hate, and that's how they try to brainwash us. Jared, William mentioned earlier the good quote Barbara Spector had made regarding Europe is going into a multicultural phase, and Jews are going to be at the center of this. And she points out they're going to be potentially resented for this. So this is very out in the open, and a lot of everyday Jews are aware of all these facts, declarations, agendas, and of course they won't criticize or say anything about fellow Jews. So it is, to a good extent, complicit, even by everyday Jews, is a big issue.
Yeah, I'm William Jared Daniel. I'm from South Carolina in North America, and the host of Bloodline Frontline and the co-host of Voice of National Socialist Reason with Rosemary McLeod.
I'd like to thank Jared for calling in. Is there anything he'd like to ask me or anything?
Yeah, I do. You know, Lauren Southern did a documentary about the genocide, and
Lauren Southern, Jew, and she's controlled opposite, and I will not promote anything of her work on this broadcast.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry.
There's one thing. There's one thing I would like to ask you about. They supposedly claimed that there was an all white town, but when I looked at the guy who ran the all white town, I noticed he was quite obviously Jewish. And what I'd like to know is, being that, you know, you're in Africa, you know, how much Jewish influence do you observe in Africa, man? How much control? Because I get the impression it's locked down.
Absolutely. They was Jews posing as Afrikaners. Back during this revolution, when they gave the blacks the country basically on a silver Jew platter, yes, it was the same going on here as it was in the States. It's these white-looking crypto Jews who speak for our people, that blend in with our people, and they lead the opposition while we sit back and have no power. And if we do express our power, like I'm trying to do, well, then we're labeled racists and anti-Semites, and we're not allowed to be heard of. So yes, to answer your question, they have done the same thing here as they're doing in the States, and they're doing the same thing here as they've done all around the other white world. Nothing's different. And I don't know what town you're referring to, but is it Orania?
No, I'm in a state south. Well,
no,
you know,
no, you mentioned an all white town in South Africa.
I can't remember the name of it. It was Lawrence Southern went to a town in South Africa where it was just a strictly white town. And I know it looked all Jewish to me. A Jewish gated community.
I've already exposed that to. That's why Lawrence Southern will tell you it's an all white town. It isn't all white. They are Jews. Absolutely. Because if it was a white town, why wouldn't someone like myself, why wouldn't more white people be allowed to join there? You have to have privilege.
It's interesting also to hear perspectives from people in the U.S. compared to William's perspective on this, as far as the situation in South Africa. So if you could elaborate more on what you have heard, I mean, compared, considering how much is censored out there on what's going on to the whites, to the Boer population, including actual murders just for being white of some of the farmers in the last couple of years in particular.
Yeah, you know, the thing people don't seem to realize is the concept of human nature. And we see this pattern of where there's a direct correlation between people with an IQ of 85 or less having a propensity for violence. We see this in the Muslim community, the Arab community, the Black community. And for lack of a better word, and I hate to be rude like and mean like this, but it's just God's honest truth. These people are, Blacks are just savage. And you look at the gang violence we had in the 1980s and 1990s, I mean, it's really just broke down to just tribal warfare. You know, there's an old saying, you can take a Black out of Africa, but you can't take the Africa out of the Black. And they're just a violent group of people, you know, low IQ, high testosterone, propensity to gang violence, and they don't have the mental capacity to better themselves. You have a huge drug problem in these African nations. You have a huge prostitution problem in these nations. There's no age of consent over there, so it's anything goes. There were numerous cases where when the AIDS epidemic first started picking up in the 80s and 90s, Black men would rape little girls so they wouldn't get AIDS, and they end up spreading AIDS to these little girls. This is stuff you don't hear about in the news. So, you know, and then the leader of the South African government says, look, we need to seize property and give it to the Blacks. I have to look to the Blacks. Now, the leader of the African tribe over there, I won't say the Zulu community, he's already stated, he says, look, if we kill off the white Boer farmers, it'll be the biggest mistake. We'll starve to death in less than 2 years. There ain't a niggering around that knows anything about farming. So they've admitted, there are Blacks over there who have admitted that if they get rid of the Boer farmers, it will be a terrible mistake. But they're basically the Black community, who I strongly suspect the Black government is under the influence of the Jewish lobby, you know, saying, as Martin Luther King was, to gain control of these lands, seize these assets. And it's always about Jews seizing assets. When you add the Jewish question in an equation, you know, because Blacks usually aren't smart enough to make these kind of power moves on their own. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. But you seem like every kind of movement you see, there's a Jew behind it. So, you know, I've no doubt who's really pulling the strings. Just like who controlled the apartheid government in South Africa? It was Jews. They said it was whites who controlled the government. No, it was fucking kikes. Not whites, but kikes who controlled the nation of South Africa. The reason why they even have jobs over there was because of the diamond mines that were discovered. So, you know, and the tobacco farms that were over there. But it's the Boer farmers that feed that nation. So I strongly suspect, you know, that the Jews have been controlling the Black government from behind the scenes, and that's really what's going on with this genocide towards the white Boer farmers. It's basically just a land grab for the Jewish elite, basically. I strongly suspect that.
From the very beginning of this country, the founding of it, the colony was controlled by the Dutch East India Company. The Dutch East India Company was controlled by the de Rothschild family, the same family that controls the currencies of today's world. Once they gave up power of the Cape of Good Hope, they gave it to England and basically the city of London, which is also controlled by the de Rothschild family. So it's always been in the British control, so to speak. Not the white people of Britain, but the Jews who control Britain, okay? Now, they are the ones who created the ANC. They are the ones who created the apartheid laws. They are the ones who have been behind the genocide and using white people to build the colony and Black people to destroy it once they've gotten everything they've needed to get out of this. Now, the real problem lies behind the Boers. The Boers were never a part of the colony. When they came here, they made it clear that they wanted nothing to do with the colony and that they were to speak their own language, they had their own religion, and that they would be completely separate and would not be bound by the laws of the colony. This is the foundation of the Boer republics. Once they found natural resources such as diamonds and gold and uranium and all the other resources, that is when the British Yiddish declared war on the Boer republics, and that's when the Anglo-Boer War started. Now, yes, the Brits came here, the white Brits fought the war for the British power, or for the Yiddish power behind England. Okay, England has always been controlled by Jews, at least going back to the 1650s when Cromwell let them back in. And this was in the 1650s at the same time when von Rabeck came to South Africa with the Dutch East India Company ships in 1652. So it all coincides, it's all connected. White people really never have had any power in this country, except for the short period of time the Boers were in control of their own republics. All right, well, I thank you for your call, Jared. It was nice to meet you. I have a lot more information I'd like to get through if I could, so...
Nice meeting you, and I'll call in later. Around. Thank you.
We'll stick around to listen if you want.
Stick around if you want to listen.
I will.
But just... All right. So, I'm going to get back here to reading this quote by Cohen. Boy, they. Now, he basically was boasting. Here, I'm just going to read his own words. He says that we have no one country. The world is our country, and our loyalty is only to each other. Folks, that says all we need to know right there. That is exactly what Rosenthal said. He said they only help one another when they need to. If not, it is for the individual Jew to, well, that's what the world is. It's for Jews to conquer. So, you have not even realized the role the parties like the Democratic Party play. Reading the enlightening words of this to Cohen of the Council on Foreign Relations. Oy vey. Yes. And he is boasting just on how they, these Jews, have put their agenteers and provocateurs in place. Their employees, such as Colin Eglin and Helen Suzman. In fact, Helen Suzman has been in the news recently. That vile Jewess is still around, actually. And also Zach De Beer of, I think De Beer, the diamond fame. Cohen says that they've all done good work in fomenting the idea of creeping socialism. Yes, that socialism is a movement of the downtrodden masses. Right? So basically what they're doing is getting you to surrender your country, surrender your family, your economic and personal freedom to an all-powerful collectivist communist government, which they control. Now, I'm going to get back to this quote, this long quote by Mr. Cohen. He goes on to say that we have crept into your minds with our liberal cancer affecting every sector of your society. I could do a part two on this because I have a lot more I'd like to get through. I'm not even close to being done. So maybe I can just wrap this up for today. I've given you an idea. I've given the audience a lot of information to swallow. And yeah, I have a lot more for you folks. So I'll give you the links, everyone. And I hope you will go through it and study it. And maybe you can try to
present this information to family or friends who might be, leaning our way. You know, you can use your own judgment on whom you can share it with, but this is how we have to get people to start thinking like us. So, yeah, I think I've shared enough for today, and I will continue next week. I think that'll be a good plan.
I enjoyed being here as well. I always enjoy chatting. So, yeah, I'd look forward to being welcome to just do that more regularly with you on your show. Definitely. You know, one topic I'd like to try to get to at some point with you is to discuss, everyone tries to refer to the Third Reich era as being under fascism. From what I understand, it was quite different even than Mussolini's Italian government at the time. And it really wasn't quite what you would define as fascist. Just getting into, you know, the differences between the two as opposed to the propaganda we're told by the Jewish historians, you know, would be interesting. I'd be curious to hear your insights on that.
Well, I would love to touch on that now, if you don't mind. I'm not sure what was said while I was gone, but I want my listeners to know that I do not promote National Socialism or Adolf Hitler. I do not promote fascism because, well, first of all, I admire Adolf Hitler in many ways, and I love what he did with National Socialism, but I do not promote it because it has already failed. It has already been demonized. It has already been destroyed. So when you talk about Hitler and you talk about National Socialism today, people have already been, you know, brainwashed into thinking that it was so evil when it really was not. But I think that is a losing battle, trying to re-promote and recapture something that's already failed, something that's already been destroyed. Again, I am not against Adolf Hitler or National Socialism. I think in this present day, we need to forge our own path. We need to correct the errors of the Reich. And fascism, you know, these fascist goys out there, I do not consider them on my side. Fascism is when you have corporations connected to government. I am against governments of today, and I am against corporations. So why would I want to be a fascist? It's another Jew philosophy that enslaves our folk, and it's not helpful, it's not healthy, and I think people who speak that way do us more harm than they do any good. That's my opinion.
That's great. Wow. I mean, I think you really nailed it concisely, because I've heard this debate from a lot of people who are like-minded to us again and again. I mean, we'll have the Patriot movement out there who want to do the same thing, but with the United States Founding Fathers' original conception, you know, with Bill of Rights and Constitution, just as they were then. Both of them are a time that's passed, and even if Adolf Hitler were reincarnated into another body today and able to attempt something for his people and motivated to do such, that he would not use National Socialism. He would rebrand it, something for the time and place and country and such, everything that he was in, and to appeal to the people of that time. And I mean, he was a populist sort of a leader, right? I mean, it was a populist sort of a decision, really, when he came to power. And, I mean, he did win legitimate elections, from what I understand. But, yes, it definitely would be even something he wouldn't try, the way it's already been demonized. So you raise a brilliant point, William.
Well, this is my final thought, if you will. More about, the National Socialism and the fascism. Today, we do not have the luxury of having even one country in this world. We have been stripped of everything. We have lost everything. And so I feel if there is any way, we need to start working internationally. Yeah, the international Aryan, right? Yeah, I don't mean it in the way of international Jewry, but in a way I do, because Jews have used, Jews are in every country around the world, and Jews have been able to communicate and work with one another, which has helped them gain control of the entire world, of all of our countries. So maybe it's smart for us to start working with other Aryans within other countries around the world. Now, we are at a big disadvantage because, well, these international Jews have implemented their laws in all of our countries, which would make us appear as their enemy, terrorists, they would brand us as. So it would be very dangerous for us to, work together the way they do in all of our countries. But I think we need to figure out a way that we can somehow become exempt from their laws. We need to figure out a way where we can operate and separate ourselves from the rest of the populations in every country, so that we can start to have our own. That they won't let us do this. This is the main problem, the biggest opposition we have. We need to figure out a way to where we could at least live freely wherever in whatever country we are in. And until we're able to do that, I don't see how we're going to be able to be free. Once we are able to establish ourselves in each respective country, that, I believe, is when we need to start working with others who have established themselves in these countries. It would, instead of like Germany working with Italy, we need to have white people in Germany who have been able to separate themselves work with white people in Italy who have been able to separate themselves. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have control of our countries anymore. So we need to figure out how to separate ourselves, how to avoid their Jew-occupied prison, how to avoid being deemed terrorists. This is our number one opposition. We need to figure this out. And by playing their rules, by playing their game, their political games in their countries that they have taken over, that strategy is not going to work. So until we start to separate ourselves, folks, that to me is the first thing we need to do. I hope that was coherent. I hope that made sense.
Yes, excellent. Definitely did. And thanks again for welcoming my interactions. Look forward to more of that in the future.
All right, Richard, I appreciate you for joining me. Thank you all for listening, and I will continue next week with part two of this information coming from the gift horse's chewy mouth. So thank you, everyone, and have a nice week. Cheers.